A woman comes to Jesus as he's dining in the house of Simon the leper in Bethany with spikenard, expensive ointment. She comes as a bride to her bridegroom. If you read the Song of Solomon in chapter 1, verse 12, you'll read the bride expressing this sentiment: while the king was on his couch, my nard gave forth its fragrance. The king, the bridegroom, is entering into a marriage. And this nard represents, therefore, the love of the bride for the bridegroom. Although it is true that our Lord also accords it a burial significance when people complain that this expensive nard should have been sold and given to the poor. He tells them to be quiet because she is preparing him for burial. So Mary of Bethany is like a bride coming to Jesus, the royal bridegroom. So Jesus' passion is a nuptial act. The word passion we use to refer to the suffering of Jesus. We've just listened to the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to St. Mark, we think of Passion Sunday, Passion Week. The passion of our Lord certainly is suffering. Compassion is being able to suffer with another person. But don't we also use the word to refer to the intense love, particularly of a husband and wife for one another? The intense love of spouses, the intense love of a beloved for the loved one. And yes, Jesus connects this anointing with his death and burial, which is really the ultimate in giving of his body to his bride, a total self-donation of himself to his bride, the church, and seals a covenant. This covenant of marriage will be sealed by and in his blood, given at the Last Supper as the body and blood that would be sacrificed on the cross, as we heard in the Gospel today, the institution of the Eucharist, and given at every Mass as the one and the same sacrifice of our Lord on the cross, in the new and eternal covenant in blood, as we're reminded every time the priest says those words of consecration over the wine in that chalice of affliction. And so at every Mass we do proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes again, until the end of time, even as we do profess our faith in his resurrection. This new and eternal covenant is being made present for us and will be made present for us for all time until the Lord comes again. And it is made present for all the peoples. The first of whom, of those peoples, the Gentiles, to, as it were, benefit from that covenant, which our Lord sealed in his blood, was the Roman centurion. And we note how St. Mark says, seeing how Jesus breathed his last, not that Jesus breathed his last, but how he breathed his last, breathing it freely. This was Jesus' hour. He gave himself up to death with total freedom. Seeing that free act of breathing his last at the hour of his choosing, bear in mind crucifixion, death by crucifixion could take many days. Remember how Pilate was surprised that when Joseph of Arimathea came asking for the body, that Jesus was already dead. And indeed asked that same centurion to verify it. Is he truly dead? That centurion made that act of faith in that moment of Jesus breathing his last. Truly this man was the Son of God. Son of God, which is a theme that runs throughout St. Mark's Gospel. As Jesus had replied to the high priest when asked if he was the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One. And he said, I am. The very name of God. The very name that God had told Moses to tell the people, if anyone asks you who has sent you, tell them, I am, has sent you. And then Jesus goes on, speaking to the high priest, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, coming on the clouds of heaven. The high priest and those listening would have recalled the vision in Daniel 7, when the Son of Man is seated at the right hand of power. The Son of Man is a Son of God. That soldier who pierced Jesus' side that we read about in the Gospel of John is honored by the church as Saint Longinus, upon whom poured the blood and water from Jesus' side, when he pierced Jesus' side. And therefore at that moment, when that blood and water fell upon him, he received a baptism. And you may have seen the movie The Passion of the Christ, the famous Mel Gibson movie. And you'll see the centurion, after he's pierced the Lord's side and that blood and water is gushing forth from his side, he's kind of ecstatic as he's being washed in this water and blood. He's kind of drunk with this new wine that is poured forth in abundance at the nuptials of Christ and of his bride, the church, represented by this first Gentile, a Roman centurion, who, having professed his faith, is baptized in Christ's blood. May we have that same ecstasy, that same giddiness, if you like, at the outpouring of Christ's love for us at every Eucharist that we take part in. I know of the anticipation of all the catechumens awaiting baptism at the Easter Vigil, our catechumen, Rene, and also the candidates, Kristen and Les, who are awaiting the fullness of initiation and receiving the sacrament of confirmation, being strengthened with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and then finally being able to eat and drink Christ's body and blood for the first time, sharing that nuptial communion with their bridegroom, who purchased them with the price of his blood. May we never lose that anticipation, that sense of newness, as we receive this testament of the new covenant in Christ's blood when we come to Mass. Let that anticipation be ours also. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within thy wounds, hide me. Separated from me, from thee, never let me be. From the malign enemy, defend me. At the hour of death, call me. And close to thee, bid me come, that with thy saints I may praise thee forever and ever. Amen.